Howitzer, he can throw it a country mile. Smith lets it rip. It is intercepted. It's over. Liberty with a shocker in Waco.
They've got to move on, and he is a fantastic coach. And today we need to celebrate DJ Durkin as much as we've talked about Tom Herman.
Touchdown here for the Longhorns, not giving up. The touchdown for Colin Johnson, 32 yards. A huge victory.
Francois is flushed and chased, and he'll be dropped. That was Ronnie Harrison out of the secondary, and Francois is down holding his left knee and grimacing. Uh-oh.
Ronnie Harrison, when he tackled him, kind of rolled up onto the back of his legs. Blitz comes right over the left there. And there's the speed of Harrison. See at the end of that play.
Yeah, you're right. He just sort of inadvertently rolled on the left leg there.
They've got it first and goal now at the Aggie 10 with 48 seconds to go. They're right back to the line. Will throw, goes end zone, and it is a catch, touchdown! 43 seconds left in the game. Jordan Lasley is the man who caught it. This has been a phenomenal comeback by UCLA.
Or a phenomenal choke by the Aggies. I think I'll go that way. So much to get to. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday, Labor Day edition. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. You want to get in today? 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number. 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Guessing most of you guys are off today, but man, too much going on this weekend for us to take off. So here we are. Let's have some fun. Let's talk some football. Man, what a weekend.
Yeah. What a sad weekend if you are a fan of football in the great state of Texas, though.
Yeah, that's true. It was
not a strong show, although let's credit where it's due. Congrats, TCU.
Yeah.
TCU took care of theirs against the Mississippi Junior College for the Blind.
I think it was Liberty State is who I think they beat.
I don't know. I think it was a barber college, actually, but they beat the hell out of them, which is more than you could say for Baylor, who lost to the barber college that they played against.
Oh, my goodness.
And the two big boys in the state, both devastating losses, but in different ways. One, for Texas, all the expectations, all the hubbub of what they were going to be, how they would look under Tom Herman, how different they would be than what Charlie Strong had done, all the talent that was there at Texas and ready to just be unleashed, and expectations were high for Herman and for the program, and they just got their asses kicked. The defense, which was the one bright spot you had last year. So you assume, well, I mean, they've got Malik Jefferson, Puna Ford. They've got some real talent on that side of the ball. You think, okay, the defense will be good. We'll just see what they can get out of Bouchel, who, by the way, played pretty well.
Yeah.
Shane Bouchel did. They were never able to get their heads right after getting down early. They got close. I think they cut it to three at one point. But Maryland just didn't get off the gas. And That game had four defensive or special teams touchdowns. And Texas starts out 0-1 in the Tom Herman era. And I think any hope that Texas was back to being Texas football was dashed already. But then A&M, man, if you went to bed after the first half, you were thinking, Texas A&M is legit.
These guys could play with Alabama.
They were just running roughshod over UCLA. I mean, and it wasn't like there was no mystery of what was going to happen every play. They weren't throwing the ball. They were going to turn around and hand the ball off and run it down their throats, which they did. And a 34-point lead.
Late in the third quarter.
Late in the third.
No, this isn't just halftime. This is late in the third quarter.
You're talking about five unanswered touchdowns in about a quarter and I think 2.5 minutes.
It was 19 minutes.
19 minutes mm-hmm. total?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Game time, 19 minutes. And by the way, they got cute early on when they had first and goal at the two.
They're passing the ball. I was telling Fred, it reminded me of the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Now,
I mean,
you look back on it and you're like, well, if they got a touchdown there, the game would have been out of reach, but anything.
If they got a field goal there, the game's out of reach.
No, they did get a field goal.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right. Yeah. But they were inside the five, and they threw two passes in a row.
When they were just running the ball down their throats, that made no sense to me. And there were a lot of mistakes. And to be fair, yeah, Josh Rosen was amazing for that stretch. And his tight end was, for some reason, the Aggies decided they couldn't cover him and didn't want to try, so they didn't put anybody on him and just kind of let him run around by himself. But for all that to happen, you have to screw up if you're the Aggies.
Oh, yeah.
And they did, with play calling, with clock management. And I think this kid they had in at quarterback, their latest five-star, who's probably not going to be very good kid, he should have been running the ball himself.
Yeah.
On some of those possessions, rather than come out and try to throw it. Because it's weird to see an A&M team that can't pass the football. Neither one of those guys could throw the ball. I mean, they could throw it, but they're not very accurate and they're not very good. And they'll get better because they're young. But, man, just some of the stuff they did. And then, yeah, they have to miss a field goal, so everything has to go right. But this is a bad for both programs, it's a really bad look. I think it's less of a bad loss for Texas because it's game one of a new era. And, frankly, I think the talent may not be as good there as we've been led to believe. And it's going to take a little bit longer. And I do think, having seen Tom coach, this team will get better as the season goes on.
Well, this is the first time in a while that Texas football has had guys, multiple guys that I think are probably first-round NFL draft picks. It's been a long time.
Theoretically, although every year they seem to have guys who could be first-round picks.
Yeah, maybe start the year as that, and then they won't
be. Yeah, and then by the end you're like, oh, they may not even get drafted. But it's funny, because I was watching a CFL game, and there was Jackson Jefcoat playing in the CFL. Remember
how great he was? He was a monster.
Yeah. But the reality is, I think from Texas' perspective, nobody wants to be patient at Texas. And I think this talk that they were going to win 10 or 11 games is silly. I do think they're going to get better as the season goes on. I don't know how good they'll be this year. You know, but that's a game where, frankly, it's like it just looked a lot like Charlie Strong's teams. It really did. Sloppy, mistakes on special teams. Going for it in weird situations.
Yeah. And they went for it on so many fourth downs. I mean, they just kicked field goals in those cases.
They treated it like, oh, we're by far the best team. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I think it was that game in particular, man, the more I was watching, it's like you could almost see that. And I thought they did a good job of getting back in the game. And when they did, I really thought they were going to go on.
I thought
they
were going to go back and win, too.
Yeah, it's like once they – and it's so funny. This is why you don't Twitter during games. But, oh, they suck, they're awful. And all of a sudden, they're right back in the game.
Yeah, but you know what? Even if they would have come back and won that game, I'd still be feeling the same way about Texas football right now. Like, this isn't as good as we thought it was going to be, or we were led to believe it would be.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to tell until you actually see them on the field.
Whereas I think expectations were for A&M, I don't know what the expectations were, really. I don't know if people thought that this was a game they should have won or a game like going into it. I mean, obviously at halftime you should win that. But going into the game, did A&M fan feel like this was a walkthrough game?
Nah, I think they probably felt like it was going to be a close game, but that they should win. I mean, UCLA is coming off a 4-8 season. Jim Moore is on a bigger hot seat than Kevin Sumlin is.
He was until yesterday.
So, I mean, if you're A&M, I think you feel like you should win that football game. And if you watched it, you should have won that football game.
Yeah.
There's no way that that ever should have gotten into the situation that it did in the fourth quarter. And
by the way, there's a lot of people who were like, well, if they wouldn't have lost their quarterback, things would have been different.
He wasn't.
Maybe. But that quarterback, Starkle, he wasn't doing anything but turning around and handing it off to Trayvon Williams.
No, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't looking very good as a passer either. Right? That's
and A&M has quarterback issues because how many times in the last 3 years have we done a story or read a report about a quarterback transferring out of A&M?
Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen. I mean, you might want to use one
of those.
The
list goes on. Yeah. All those guys, I mean, I think there's 3 or 4 guys that they recruited who just said, this isn't for me, and left. And eventually that hurts you. And when Nick Starkle went down and you got to go straight to a true freshman, that hurts.
Yeah. Well, they had a kid with experience on the roster who didn't play, and I'm kind of wondering why you didn't put him in the second half for a little bit.
Well, especially after, I mean, after it starts to unravel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just it was strange. I blame it on coaching more than anything.
I agree.
If you don't get fancy and you just keep running the ball down their throats, which is what they were doing, you win that game.
But then they got so predictable with the run the ball, short pass into the dirt.
Yes.
Which looked like the Texans' offense, frankly. And you do that, you're giving the team the ball fast, they're playing at pace, they make a couple big plays, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. And can we also stop with this Chavis is a great defensive coordinator stuff? I mean, the guy was a product of LSU, basically. And what has he done since he's been there?
Nothing.
I'm hearing crickets.
Yeah.
Well, it is a little difficult when your offense plays the way that they play.
Well, and that's I want to come back to that point when we come back from break, because this is something AJ and I have talked about a lot, but I think it's even a little deeper when you see a game like that yesterday. We got a lot of stuff to get to. I mean, is there much to say about Baylor other than
oh my gosh? I mean,
well, if you had Howard and what was the Liberty. Yeah. You'd have been a rich man.
$100 would have turned into like 1.3 mil.
Yeah. Oh, I thought RJ said 4.1 mil.
Oh, maybe it was. But
for the record, I never looked at either one of those games.
So. I didn't either.
Well, I mean, Cam Newton's brother plays for Howard.
I actually did look at the Baylor line that was left on the cutting room floor. Not money line, obviously.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it was just that's an embarrassing loss for that program. And I think they might be back to being Baylor football pre-rapist.
Which tells you the only way that program can be successful is to
house scumbags.
Yeah, pretty much. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So one thought on the Aggie game. We always talk about how hard it is to have a great defense when you have an offense that plays at that tempo all the time.
But they didn't this game.
They didn't.
They ran the ball. And guess when it's easy to have a good defense? When you run the ball super effectively.
Well, part of the problem, though, is even if you're running the ball and you're scoring that fast, your defense is right back on the field.
Yeah.
And that happened a little bit. And if you watch the first half of that game, A&M's defense was physical, aggressive. They were getting after the quarterback. They were making big hits. And, I mean, they looked fantastic. They really did. And my brother sent me a text about how, why can't they look like that all the time? And I go, well, because they tend to get worn down. And it's funny because teams can do that. You can play at a real high level for a short time. You can play with Alabama for a half if you play out of your minds. But you can't. Alabama keeps playing for 60 minutes.
Right.
And what happened here, by the time you got to the second half, they're not making those plays. They're blowing coverages. You start seeing a little fatigue. In fact, I think a lot of fatigue on that defense. And that's where you start seeing the mental mistakes and guys getting open and not covering who you're supposed to cover. And, oh, by the way, not getting any pressure on Josh Rosen in any of those drives. And that was what held him in check in the first half. I mean, he could not get a throw off. His offensive line was just getting beat up. But when you flip the channel, basically, it was the exact opposite. And when he had time to throw, that guy was going to eat you alive.
Oh, what's funny, you talk about careful how early you're tweeting. After Sam Darnold and Josh Allen had really poor performances in their first games, although Darnold, I think a lot of people made more of it than it really should have been. He looked all right. He didn't look like the number one pick in the draft, but he didn't look horrible either.
It was game one, and people forget that's a team that went 13-0 last year. Yep, they were playing.
That's a pretty good football team. But Josh Allen had a really rough game. And granted, it was Wyoming, and they were playing against a Big Ten team. So both of them maybe had some excuses, but everyone was saying, oh, all three of the top quarterbacks in this draft look like garbage this week. And then sure enough, Josh Rosen's fourth quarter happened, and suddenly he didn't look quite so garbagey.
Yeah, and frankly, watching that game early, I think part of it was he wasn't able to get set at all. The Aggies were in his face. They were hitting him. They were making plays. His receivers weren't getting open. And a couple of times there were some bad routes. And it was one of those things where, yeah, his numbers look bad and he kind of looks bad. But this isn't really on him. And I think if they could just start protecting him, give him a little time, he'll start completing some passes. Now, I didn't expect him to start completing passes at the rate he did. But, yeah, I think, and this will be probably something that comes up all year long, I don't think Darnold was nearly as bad as people want to act like he was. And I thought Rosen struggled early, but there were reasons for it. But boy, once he got into a rhythm, and that happens with really good quarterbacks. Sam Darnold was pretty good in the fourth quarter himself.
Yeah.
And USC was
able
to pull.
He turned the ball over two times.
Two times early in the game, basically. And then.
And it made the games. It made the game closer than it needed to be.
Well, and that's the thing. Rosen had the fumble, and then one play later, his running back fumbles the ball, and suddenly you're given 10 points to A&M. And that was just a really, really awkward place to be, and for them to fight all the way back. And yeah, you know, I think once they got the lead with 48 seconds left, like you knew there was no way A&M was going to score. That game was over.
Yeah.
But you know, interesting stuff. I'm kind of curious how Aggie fan feels today. I'm kind of curious how Longhorn fan feels today. Just let us know. 713-780-3776. And John was tweeting quite a bit about the games this weekend, I think.
Well, I got to sit down and watch some college football. It was nice having football back.
Yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, I was watching it with a couple of A&M friends. And, you know, first half, they're drinking because they were up, you know, by three scores, I think three or four scores. And then by the end of the game, they're drinking because they blew a 34-point lead.
So when did they know?
When they were up by 21, when A&M was up by three scores, maybe they were panicking a little bit because they've seen this before. It's happened before, not just once or twice or three times. It's happened like multiple times, like four or five times in the past couple of years. So they kind of saw it coming.
Well, I've seen a lot of Kevin Sumlin teams over the years, and
it happened with what was the coach before? Mike Sherman too.
Yeah, yeah. It was just surreal to watch, but when it got to two touchdowns, that's when I'm like, and I'm doing the math because they're only up 13, and I'm like, uh-oh, they're going to blow this. And because they weren't slowing UCLA down. And the one thing that I'll kind of criticize UCLA for in the end is they were trying to score, but they were acting like there was 10 seconds left on the clock. I mean, they had plenty of time, and
right.
You don't want to leave too much there, but...
I mean... UCLA with that one, I think it was the second, the touchdown before their go-ahead, or their go-ahead, where Rosen got hit and just threw it up. A lot of games like this come down to a little bit of element of luck. That he should not have thrown that ball, but it ended up yeah. Scoring a touchdown.
Well, and sometimes you just throw it up and hope your guy makes a play, and he probably shouldn't have because it could have been picked, but he had two receivers right there in front of both Aggie defenders. It was one of two guys could make that play, and they were both UCLA guys.
Yep.
But, yeah, I thought it was it's certainly one of those losses that's going to stick with you. And obviously it's week one. There's plenty of time for the Aggies to come back and win a bunch of games. But I don't think you can realistically look at this and say that Kevin Sumlin's going to accomplish what he was told to accomplish based on that. I mean, that's just a bad, bad loss. There's no way around it. Did you see this A&M regent that got on Facebook and basically said he should be fired?
Yeah. Busby, the guy who's here.
Yeah. Said, I'm sure I may be criticized for this post, but I honestly don't care. I've been on the Board of Regents for the A&M system for almost 7 years. During that time, I've not once commented on Kevin Sumlin and his performance during his tenure at our school. I never said a word when he and his agent manipulated a much bigger and longer contract. I said nothing about his arrogance and mishandling of multiple player controversies. I said nothing when we had multiple awesome recruiting classes only to see key players leave our school or underperform. But tonight, I'm very disappointed and have to say this. Kevin Sumlin was outcoached tonight, which isn't new. Okay, I agree. He recruits well, but he can't coach the big games or the close games. Our players were better tonight. Our players are more talented tonight. But our coaches were dominated on national TV yet again. I'm only one vote on the Board of Regents, but when the time comes, my vote will be that Kevin Sumlin needs to go, capital G-O. In my view, he should go now. We owe it to our school and our players. We can do better. Share this as you see fit.
I think that says it all.
Yeah.
I mean, Fred, we knew coming into this season that Kevin Sumlin was on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have a problem with it, but I don't think if you're on the Board of Regents that
you want to be making Facebook posts.
Yeah,
especially
right after a game like that. You might want to just say something about, boy, this was what a disappointing loss or something, but don't do that. However, is there a single word in there that you can argue with him on?
No.
I mean,
you know what? I will argue on one thing, that they had better players. Josh Rosen is the best player that was on the field last night.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, I'll take pretty much everybody on A&M's defense.
I'll give you that.
And their running backs and, hell, their receivers. Yeah, and quarterback is the great equalizer. We all know that. But if you just look player for player, yeah, it wasn't that close. But
what's crazy is, though, you look back at Kevin Sumlin's era and you look back at all the first-round picks that has come through there, that team should not be as bad as it is.
Well, that's
like,
what
record wise.
Yeah. He's a great recruiter. He gets good players in there.
They're not bad.
They're
8-4 every year.
They have a first round pass rusher every single year.
Yeah, and that kid looked great last night too. Looked like he was just going to step in and be the next Myles Garrett or Von Miller, but at least for the first half.
Yeah,
not so much in that second half.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. Shopping for electricity, it can be a tough thing, and it's not fun. Tri-Eagle knows it's not fun, but they're trying to make it better for you. Signing up with Tri-Eagle is simple and fast. There's no hidden fees, no interruption in service. Right now, you can take advantage of the new low 12-month rate locked in at 8.1 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. When you get home, compare that offer to your last bill, and if your usage is 2,000 kilowatt hours a month, which is about average in these hot Texas summers, your total bill should be around $170. If you're paying anything more than that in the summer, switch now. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Remember to use that promo code ESPN to get yourself the best rate. PUCT license number 10064, pardon me, for Tri-Eagle Energy.
Every time. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. Roll Tide Fred says, can you say Lane Kiffin will be the next coach at Texas A&M? Stop. That would be an awful hire. Lane Kiffin is a terrible head coach. Stop with that.
Major Applewhite's going to be the next head coach at A&M. Everyone knows that.
I would I would keep my eye out. I mean, Chip Kelly's name's going to come up.
For sure.
The one guy I might keep an eye on to see how his team does this year is Chad Morris at SMU.
Yeah.
If he can turn that into an 8 or 9 win team, then his stock will not be any higher. It'll never get any higher than that. So, but yeah, Lane Kiffin, come on. Come on, guys. So, even though the score wasn't that close, we had a hell of a game in Florida State and Alabama. I'll tell you what, Florida State is really talented, and it kind of sucks now that they've lost their quarterback.
Yeah.
That's
you mean man bun Cam Newton?
Yeah, exactly.
Jong, is that a man bun or a top knot?
That's a man bun.
That's a man bun?
Yeah.
Okay. When that I felt so racist because every time I'd see that guy with his helmet on, I was like, he looks just like Cam Newton.
I don't think that was racist because everybody on Twitter thought the same thing.
That's when I decided, okay, I'm okay to tweet it out. Once like the NFL tweeted it out that they looked the same, I was like, okay. I guess it's not racist to think two black guys look the same.
And then the Carolina Panthers tweeted back, if it was Cam Newton, you would have won the game.
Yeah. So I feel okay with it then. But, I mean, it's uncanny, those two dudes with their helmets on. But Alabama, while they didn't look great offensively, they were playing against probably the best defense they'll see all year. And they still won by... what, 20 points?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 17 points.
The thing is, Florida State was hanging in there, but you can't make special teams mistakes against Alabama. If you do, then you're going to look up, and all of a sudden, the game's out of hand. Yeah, even though you've played fantastic football. That's a good football team that Alabama beat. And I know you were saying on Twitter, and we talked about it before the show, it's like, who's going to beat them? And about the only thing I can hold out hope for is that I know Urban Meyer's teams get better as the season goes on. But yeah, if they play like that, it's going to be tough. But then they're Alabama; they do this every year. They did lose their top two pass rushers for the season, but
Alabama also has guys.
They've got 10 guys we've never heard of who will come in and be fine. So I don't know.
Well, and Florida State loses their quarterback for the season, which they're worse for wear coming out of that game.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's one. I like that they played that game. You know, I think that I'd like to see more of those types of games early in the season because, I mean, while if Florida State wouldn't have lost their quarterback, I would say Florida State's still in contention for a national championship.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be tough now, even though I think they're very good at every other position. And who knows? Maybe Florida State, maybe that kid's better than he looked late in the game. But it's you can come back from that. Whereas if you play those games later on in the season, you can't afford to lose that late in the year. So I wish that these top teams would play each other more often early on.
Yeah, it was fun to see, and really there weren't a lot of marquee matchups this weekend. That one was it, obviously. That was the big one. A&M UCLA was interesting if you're here. Turned out to be a hell of a game to watch. And then that West Virginia Tech game we talked about a little bit the first segment was damn competitive, but we didn't have a ton of those matchups. I guess Florida Michigan was supposed to be that, but God, that was one of my beats this weekend was that damn over on the freaking fumble on the last minute of play
that
with three defensive touchdowns.
Brutal.
You know, that's one of those where when you lose, you just say, you know what? If I had bet the other end of that and won, I'd feel like the luckiest SOB in America. So I kind of feel like I was on the right end of it. But, oh, well. That's we live and learn. I didn't do too much betting this weekend. I think I had 2 CFL plays and 2 college plays, and I went 2-2. But I did I hit my big play for the week, but I lost. That was my second biggest play was on that under. So
I told myself, and I was telling you, I probably had 9 or 10 games I was really considering and I left probably a 3-1 on the cutting room floor, and yeah. I went 1-4.
I think I left 2-3 on the cutting room floor. So.
I was headed to going like last year, week one of college football, I was 5-0, on top of the world. This year I was almost 0-5. Luckily, Arkansas State came through for me in against Nebraska, but yeah, it was and that under and even the Texas Maryland under, which probably would have gone over anyway. But I bet two unders in college football, lost both. There were a total of 7 defensive/special teams touchdowns in those two games. 7 non-offensive touchdowns in 2 games that I bet the under in. Give me a break.
Well, this one angle that I keep talking about, it happened in the Wisconsin game, and I think it also happened in the Clemson game, where the spread is within 15 points of the over-under. You just bet the over every time. And I found, I guess, 3 of those this weekend, and I didn't play any of them, and it went 3-0.
Yeah.
And there's a sound thought process behind it, because if you're, say you're a 35-point favorite over a team, and it was, I guess Wisconsin was 37-point favorite in their game, and the over-under was 49. Well, if Vegas thinks you can cover 37 points, you can probably go over on your own.
Yeah.
And that's what tends to happen a lot. So, you know, those worked a lot for me last year, especially early in the season, so I'll be more on top of that this year. And we'll look at some lines, maybe in the 6 o'clock hour, some early lines that are already out there, and talk about that. 713-780-ESPN, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And Texas Tiger, all excited about his LSU because BYU never crossed the 50. LSU defense looked terrific. And I know they weren't really, quite throwing everything out there on offense, but they didn't really need to. They just kept running the ball down their throats. And I thought that was a good performance for LSU for a first week.
Yeah, for sure.
And
BYU's no world beaters, but LSU to me looks like they look like what LSU usually looks like. They look like a dominant defense and a really good run game. You know, quarterback play is, I mean, maybe we'll see more of it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, but I think they're trusting that. Yeah, that offensive coordinator can get something out of him as the season goes on. But you know, BYU is one of those teams you don't really want to play. They got a bunch of 30-year-olds. They got some big dudes.
Yep.
They play smart football. They're not an easy out. And usually they're going to beat one of these Power 5 teams. But LSU never really gave him a chance. And defensively, they were just all over him. Quick break. A lot more to get to. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
Download the ESPN 97.5 app for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Ooh, look what's coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. The Kevin Sumlin Texas A&M Coaches Show.
Oh, boy.
That should be an interesting one.
I might listen to that on my way home.
It'll be entertaining. We played Dave's call at the top of the show. He wasn't nearly as disgusted as he usually is.
You know why I think that is the case? Because he's retiring.
Probably.
He's not going to let this rain on his parade.
At this point, hey, I'm heading off into the sunset.
But yeah.
You guys want to choke like dogs? That's on you.
Yeah, because I've heard him with some some calls that were just filled with disdain.
Devastation.
Ugh. Yeah, he was just like, oh, whatever, man.
There's a touchdown. My goodness.
He sounded very surprised.
How could you be?
There was no surprise.
I got to be honest. When they were down 2 touchdowns, I said, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, that's when I thought it, too. When it got down to 13, I'm like, man, they got plenty of time. And, oh, by the way, that 1 point's going to be huge.
It was happening.
It was when they missed the field goal, actually.
Yep, when they missed that field goal, it was like 4.5 minutes left. Yeah. I said, it's happening.
Because then they would have still had to score and get 2-point conversions twice.
Yep.
But, yeah, what an amazing failure. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776 on a Labor Day Monday. And guessing most of you are off today, but maybe you're listening. There's another game tonight, Tennessee, Georgia Tech. Any interest in that?
I don't think so. I mean, I might watch it. If it just depends on if I'm going to – I've got to make the decision. Narcos season 3 or watch that game. I should probably watch that game.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see those two teams at least get a game in.
What I watched this weekend that was pleasant – it's like it was funny and I kind of enjoyed it and I never thought I would. I watched the first 6 episodes of The Tick on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
It was one of those, like, I was like, well, I'm looking for something to watch, so let's watch the first one. Like, okay, I'll watch the next one.
You didn't watch Ozark yet?
I have not watched Ozark yet. That's next on my list.
You're watching The Tick before Ozark?
Well, there were only 6 of them available, and I didn't want to get married to something too deep.
On Netflix?
Yeah, no, it's on Amazon, but I think they're about to release the next 5.
Oh, for The Tick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there were only 6, and I just wanted something that I could watch quick. So, AP News alert. Texas emergency management officials say at least 60 deaths now attributed to Harvey.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How is... you know what? I think there's going to be more because that Beltway 8 and Memorial area is still a lake.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how that part of the Beltway doesn't drain. But, I mean, it doesn't look like it's gone down at all.
I think Greens Point and Beltway is the same way. I don't know how the last update I saw about Greens Point and Beltway was maybe a week ago, and the water was up to like the stoplights.
Man,
I don't know if that's strange yet or not.
But
I'm not an engineer, so I don't know why these things are still flooded. And
they got to start pumping water out of that or something. They've got to do something because you can't just let that chunk of road. I mean, that's a pretty well-traveled piece of road right there.
I do know that...
How many cars do you think are in there?
A lot.
A lot. And we're talking about 60 now. I mean, that's going to be ugly.
I do know that area, they did do a, I think, a mandatory evacuation. I think it's south of I-10 to Briar Forest. And that's where that is.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why when we left here Friday night, I'm sure you guys ran the same thing. The traffic coming down, like Westheimer and 610, was just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, Thursday and Friday coming into work, I live like 7 miles from here. Took me an hour.
Really?
Because 610, I guess 59 in that area, they had some closures there too. But I think all that stuff has already gone down. So,
yeah, I mean, it seems like other than a couple of areas, for the most part, you're able to get around again.
Right.
Which is good. And
did you guys see this? We're getting a cold front by the end of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's going to keep Irma from destroying us, is that cold front.
All right.
Hashtag climate change.
There's no such thing as climate change.
Hashtag I will predict this storm not coming. Although that looks like that thing's going to be a badass. And for all the stuff we've just gone through, there's going to be people on the East Coast that are about to get a major hurricane here, I think, which... And then that's more people that are going to be needed to help and more funds. And, I mean, it's just, you know, this sucks. We're not supposed to get more than one of these things in our country in a year. It's not supposed to happen. And hopefully it won't, but, man, you look at the tracks and everything, it looks bad. Not for us. Not coming here. Oh, great. Brace yourself, Houston. Even more mosquitoes are coming.
Great.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we haven't had to deal with yet that we're going to have to. Bunch of mosquitoes. I hate those damn things. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. We're happy to take some phone calls. And what we'll do top of the next hour, maybe go through the whole top 25, talk about some other games that we didn't get to. And, since we've been pretty heavy on Aggie and Bevo, I haven't said much about Baylor other than...
I mean, that's just humiliating.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourselves. But there's a lot of other reasons to be ashamed of yourself at Baylor, so I wouldn't worry too much about that game. But that's one of those where you just wonder, what the hell? I mean, how does that even happen? And I know they've lost a lot of guys, but you are... You're supposed to be better than Liberty, even when you're old school Baylor, who was never winning a game in the Big 12.
Yeah, Baylor who didn't win a Big 12 game for like almost 3 straight years. Even they were beating teams like Liberty.
Wow.
Although, you know, U of H did lose to UTSA when they first started football.
UTSA is not Liberty.
Yeah. No.
But that's when they first started football, though.
Doesn't matter. It's not
but
the same
thing. But they were still Division
I.
Liberty's not Division I yet. They're going to be, but good luck. Yeah, that was a pretty brutal one. That put Tony Levine behind the eight ball right off the bat.
For sure.
Well, I think that game also propelled Greg Ward into the starting role, right?
No. It was later in the year.
Okay. I think he played a little bit in that game.
No, it was the next year that they finally put him in at quarterback because they wound up salvaging an 8-win season. And it was because John O'Korn was awful and they just kept playing him.
Who we saw at Michigan this weekend.
Yeah. I saw him out there. He looked just as awful as I remember him.
Yeah. Luckily, they had a lead.
Yeah. Travis says, thanks for working today, guys. I'm cleaning out my flooded apartment and need something great to listen to while I do it.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry the tower's still what it is.
Yeah.
It's a little flooded over there, so we can't.
Have we still not been able to get in there?
I don't think so. The last update I got was that we're still on the backup generator.
Okay. Well, and that's the thing, man. A lot of people over in that area just got crushed as well. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls. We'll kind of go through the rest of the top 25. Maybe some games you might have missed.
All right.
It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Certified Lean.